Hey, Holman, have you heard?
Nope.
This truck is owned by our next guest. That, my friend, is a 22 Ford F-250 with a Godzilla 7.3, and it is on the ground.
And I heard that's not all.
The Truck Show. We're gonna show you what we know. We're gonna answer what the truck, 'cause truck rides with Truck Show. We have the lifted, we have the lowered, and everything in between. We'll talk about trucks that run on diesel and the ones that run on gasoline.
The Truck Show, the Truck Show, the Truck Show, whoa, whoa.
It's the Truck Show with your hosts, Lightning and Holman.
This episode of the Truck Show podcast, Have You Heard? Is proudly presented by Nissan with the Frontier, Titan, and Titan XD. Nissan has a truck for every need, along with the legendary Nissan durability. Test drive your next truck at a local Nissan dealer today, or point your browser to NissanUSA.com, where you can use the build and price tool to configure a Nissan truck that fits your lifestyle.
And when you're thinking about adding power or improving fuel economy, Banks has over 65 years of experience. Whether it's cold air intakes or exhaust systems, tuning, throttle control, charge air cooling, lubrication components, and much more, no one offers smarter, safer, 50-state emissions-compliant performance parts than Gale Banks. You'll find the best engineered parts for your truck at BanksPower.com.
And when you're looking for quality, full synthetic lubrication for your truck, AMSOIL has you covered with motor oil, lubricants and protectants, grease, additives, and more. AMSOIL synthetic lubricants deliver wear protection, engine cleanliness, and fuel efficiency that conventional oils simply can't match. Find out how AMSOIL synthetic lubricants can save you money and time by helping your vehicles run better and last longer than with conventional oils at AMSOIL.com. When it comes to lubrication, AMSOIL is the leader in synthetics.
All right, let's track down Mr. Tim Gilbert. He's a member of Negative Camber out there in Florida, and he's in Maggie Valley, North Carolina. His cell reception has been awful, but I think he hauled butt back to the cabin to hop on the phone with us. So if you don't mind, let's dial up Tim Gilbert out of, he's currently in North Carolina.
Hello?
Hey, is this Mr. Tim Gilbert? It's Lightning and Holman, Truck Show Podcast.
What's happening?
It is I.
Now, why do you sound so beaten down? Aren't you in Maggieville at the Mini Truck and Nationals?
I am at the Mini Truck Nationals, the Super Bowl of mini trucks.
He found out that his truck was too giant to be considered a mini truck.
Well, don't spoil it. Don't spoil it.
He feels defeated now.
No. No one knows what we're talking about yet.
Right.
So here's the deal. Tim and I have been speaking for a really long time, which feels like 3 years. It's probably only about a year or so. When he divulged the news that he would be buying a either 22 or 23 Ford F-250 with a 7.3-liter gas engine, he would be basically gutting it and bagging it and putting it on the ground with a new chassis. I thought, that's kind of wild. You're going to make a full-size truck look like a mini, and that's exactly what he intended to do. Sent him a couple parts, and he's been like leaking me photos, and it looks amazing. And apparently, you just drove this truck after like just days of being completed. You drove the truck from Orlando, Florida, where you live, to Maggieville, North Carolina, to Mini Truck Nats.
All right, hold on. Help me out here. What makes it like a mini truck and not just a lowered, shortened Super Duty?
A single cab short bed,
okay,
which Ford does not make.
Short and wide.
So
yeah, love
I
that.
Had to. Yeah, I got a crew cab bed. Because they're shorter, and you when you want to order a single cab, you have to go bed or cab and chassis. So I just got the long bed, so I'd have the taillights, the camera, the tailgate, and all that. So I bought a single cab long bed, which is the only way you can. And I bought an XL. I upgraded with the Godzilla motor, the 7.3 gas, and I got the best stereo I could get, a bigger screen, and just pretty much just it's still a work truck because it's got vinyl everything, vinyl floors, and all that. I haven't had a chance to get to that yet. That's Jimmy builds them really solid, and he's a really good builder, so he's in high demand. So I was on a waiting list, so I decided to buy the bed before I even got the truck.
So you had this done at Jimmy's Rod and Custom. Where's that, and how did you choose them over some of the other guys that are known for making crazy custom chassis?
His builds, I'm not the first one to just jump after taking it and go across the country. I just stayed on the East Coast, but there's been several guys that go to SEMA after picking it up, and guys that go to LST towing another truck after just picking it up. That's their shakedown run. He's close to me too. He's an hour away. He's in Edgewater, Florida, which is, you know, kind of close to Daytona, and I'm closer to Orlando.
So did you just shorten the frame, or is there a different chassis underneath, and what did you have to do?
It's all new. And that's funny. My dad, that blows his mind that I bought a brand new truck, lifted the body off, took the engine out, and threw everything else away. He builds them out of a plate steel. He cuts them on a plasma and then welds them all together.
So what's the suspension on that thing?
We ditch the I-beams. He takes factory spindle at the end of the I-beam and modifies it to take it's a fancy ball joint, but it's uniball or hyper joint or something like that. I forget what it's called, but to really, they really flex. And he makes it into just a regular control arm setup.
So is it
his own design?
Is it body dropped over the new chassis, or is it just laying frame?
No, it's the body is on the ground. Absolutely. He doesn't cut the floor of the truck though. It's a stock, what's called a stock floor body drop, I guess. But the chassis is built for that cab to stay under the cab, and the body still lay on the ground.
It's sick. You guys got to see it. So, Tim, your Instagram, it's short for Negative Camber Florida. But what is it? NC? What's your gram?
NC Florida Original. And the reason for that is I didn't start the club, but me and five guys started the Florida chapter. And so I'm one of the Florida Originals is why I did that. But NC Florida Original, yep, is my Instagram.
Gotcha. Now talk us through like the wheel choice, things like that. You're on at least 22s, right?
Those are
way 26s.
Yeah.
26.
Yeah, they're 6s.
Damn.
A lot of guys are putting 30s on them, and a lot of guys are putting 30s on them now, and they look killer. My only thing with that is you got to lift it higher to turn and stuff like that on the big trucks. And I like to ride low, but also the tire selection, and I plan on driving it. I drive it to the shows. This is the first one I've gone to, but I'm going to drive it everywhere. It will not be on a trailer unless it's broken.
So what was, okay, so you have this commission, you have it done. He calls you, says, come pick up the keys. What was your first drive like? And then was there anything you had to do before you got prepped for your road trip? And is this the longest trip you've taken in it so far?
Yeah. I've only owned the truck. I've only had the truck back a week. I got it back last Saturday. But it gets better. When we go to Maggie Valley, we stay for the whole week. So I got it back last Saturday. Took it to the tire store that I bought the pressure sensors at, and he installed all the tires. They were not put on the truck at that time, so I had to get them all activated so they'd work. So I drove to the tire store and then back home, which is about an hour. Once I got done at the tire store, we packed up the truck, everything got ready, and we left the next morning at 5 a.m. to come to Maggie Valley. So I had a shakedown of 1 hour.
Oh my gosh. You know who one of Tim's prolific followers are?
No, who's that?
Dirthead Dave.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking through his feed, and all of them are liked by Dirthead Dave, and he's like, sick, cool, right? So I was like, all right, that's a good follow,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, that's a good endorsement right there.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, he's in the club. He's been in the club a long time, too. Yeah,
and so the color scheme, for those of you that haven't gone to the Instagram yet, is it's an all-white truck, except for all the chassis work is lime. Is it lime green? No, it's not lime green. It's like a day glow
it's like
green.
Like Kawasaki green or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, no, Kawasaki green is deeper. This is like day glow, like a safety vest green.
Like an antifreeze green is the way I describe it. The color on the wheels is different from the chassis, though, because that color is an illusion color from Prismatic. It's called shocker yellow, but when it turns out, it looks green to me. And I chose it for that because I love lime green. But the one on the chassis is as close as I could get it in a single stage, because illusion colors you have to base in chrome. And my powder coater didn't want to do that because she didn't feel it would stick, and it would also look like a different color, being that it wasn't based in a brushed like the wheels are, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, got it. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Looking at the chassis right now, you've got some photos of it. Looks pretty badass.
Do you like the Banks rear diff cover on there, Holman?
I've always liked the Banks
rear cover.
But that has to be the worst marketing move Lightning's ever made, because you can never see, nobody ever knows it's back there.
Honestly, no, here's the thing, is that no one will ever see it, you know, because do you have a panel that comes up in the middle of the bed so you can
put that in his free product contract? Make Banks part visible through plexiglass sight window in bed?
No, it's on the back window, though.
No, I didn't do
and
that.
I tell everybody about it.
I just did it because I thought it was super cool. And it's like one of those hidden kind of like Easter eggs, you know, under the truck.
Oh, it's hidden.
Yeah, it's definitely hidden. It's got all kinds of cross members in front of you. You can't see the logo, but it's going under there. Hey, Tim, take us through the
I want to find out how it rode on his road trip. Like, what that was about.
Okay.
Because he had it for a week. I'm curious. You hit the highway and you're up to 70 miles an hour, 75. And you realize your one wheel shot all the wheel weights off of it, and now it feels like you're rolling on eggs. And then the drive shaft was too long, so it plunged into itself and exploded and took the bed off with any carnage. Or was it just like dead nuts perfect
all
the first
one? All lies. None of that happened. All lies. No, it rode like it was on air.
It's awesome, man.
Wait.
Whose air system is it? AccuAir, or what are you running?
AccuAir is the air management, ViAir for compressors.
Okay.
And then I think the bags are Airlift. That's what Jimmy likes. He's used several of them, and that's the one he likes the best, especially on the bigger trucks.
Oh my God, that you've just got like ViAir works with everybody, but I can't. How dare you put Airlift and AccuAir together, like two competitors on the same build?
Oil and water.
I don't think AccuAir makes bags themselves.
No, they don't. Right.
But we could have gone with Slams. He's used those before, but for the bigger trucks, I think the bag sidewall is a little stiffer, and it seems to work better.
Now, did he do hard lines, or is it all soft line?
No, everything is stainless steel hard lines.
Great, yeah, because when you're carrying that much weight, you don't want something to fail.
He runs a minimum amount of connections, just because it's more leak points.
How does he get the engine? Like, where does he have to reposition the engine in order to slam the truck that far? Because typically with that 7.3, it's out the bottom between the frame rails, right? I mean, so you'd lay the engine out on the ground.
But you got to remember, he's doing a different chassis, number one, and number two, they have the engine rides higher in the chassis, the stock chassis anyway, because there's a solid axle. It needs up travel.
Oh,
same with the I-beam. So
solid axle.
So I think you can drop the engine in the new one and still fit it under the hood and not scrape the ground, because you're not worried about up travel with the A-arms, right, Tim?
The engine does sit higher in there, and I wanted to put a supercharger on it, but I don't know if we'll be able to do that without redoing the cowl a little bit. But that may be a possibility, but it does sit a little bit higher, because the thing that hung that was in the way was not the motor so much as that big 10-speed.
Yeah, oh, that thing's massive.
Get high enough. The floor hasn't been touched, but he had to raise the tunnel, I think 5 inches is what he told me.
That's a huge tunnel.
The transmission tunnel.
Yeah, absolutely. God, 10-speed. Yeah, that's a big boy under there.
And so I have the bench seat that's the 40, and we were able to keep all that because I wanted the option to be able to sit three across if I wanted to.
That's awesome.
Total traditional.
Dude, there's not enough bench seats in the world.
No.
There's just literally, like, there's the... I love a good bench seat in a regular cab truck.
It's funny that he's keeping
God
it real.
Intended.
Like, he could do
absolutely
it all so, like, super modern. But there's just touches that are like, nope, I'm keeping this old school. It's the modern tech, but it's the old school feel. It's this interesting thing he's trying to pull off.
The vibes,
for sure. So what about all the wiring and all that stuff? Like pulling it off the chassis, it's got plastic tabs that hold it in and everywhere. And then you've got, like, it had to be a rat's nest coming off and then putting it back in. Like, that had to just be a challenge.
Funny you say rat's nest. Actually... Waiting for the we have storms in Central Florida, you know, hurricanes and whatnot. So one of the hurricanes came through while I was waiting my turn. I just had the truck. I bought it in 21. It's a 22, and he didn't take it in until October last year in 23 to actually bring the truck in. So anyways, it wasn't rats, but squirrels got in and ate my wiring harness
no.
in my brand new truck.
So that's a big problem.
Yeah.
Man.
That's
and
a big problem.
A long bed. I couldn't fit it in my garage. Exactly. So I talked to Jimmy. I took it to Ford, not knowing what the problem was. And they're like, we can't cover this. There's a nest in here. So it was not covered under warranty. So they wanted $2,000 to put a new wiring harness. Jimmy has to go through it and stretch it anyway. So he's like, yeah, don't worry about that. We're going to have to, it still ran, but it had a miss. So I went through and tried to butt connect and it had two misses. A brand new truck. So I got it better where it run, and I bought a new harness from Ford and then took it up there, and they put a new harness in it, but they had to extend it anyway. So anyway, all that's taken care of, but they build a whole new wiring harness and put it, they usually will stretch and redo the factory stuff.
Gotcha.
Is God, what they do.
Just put it in so all new loom, much you know? Work. It's just so much work to do this to a truck. I love it. The end product is freaking stunning. It just, I've never owned a lower truck before, but I've said it 100 times on this podcast. Someday I'm going to have a bag truck. I know I almost had one
almost
and
did
I
it.
Screwed it up with Lockjaw, but yeah, I know. You told me so 100 times. Yeah, I know. Yes, all you right. did. Yep. You did. Mm-hmm. I get it.
One of the cool things about this show that I'm at in Maggie Valley is the little town lets you cruise. The police supervise it and they let you drag and do everything. Like, I'm not dragging this truck, but I do ride low, like an inch off the ground. And I was just filmed by Grindr TV. I don't know if you knew who that is.
Yeah.
Ryan Good. Yeah. Cause coming out of the show, we have to make a right. So, I mean, I was obligated to air it out and show everybody, you know what I'm saying?
How does it turn when you're aired out? How does it turn?
I cannot turn, but I can change lanes. You know okay. what I mean? Yeah. The 26 is just so big. It's up in there. But I can change lanes and no problem.
Do you have some sort of reverse curb feelers inside your fenders so that they start making noise against your tire before you blow your fenders completely off by turning with the truck slammed?
Yeah, well, what he does that a lot of people, other people don't do is he put an inner fender wall and it attaches to the lip of the factory fender and all that. Well, the F-250 is aluminum. And so his inner fender that bolts in, he made that out of steel and it's all bed lined. So if you touch that, I mean, you'd have to really want to rip the fender off if you're listening, you'll hear it touch that first. You know what I mean?
Smart.
So the tire's going to touch first and not the wheel, not the rim. Cause that would be catastrophic.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but it's not going to rip the fender off. Like if you had that little edge on a fender only, you know, you could take the fender with it or cut a tire. This is all, I mean, I don't know if I'm explaining it right, but the way it meets on the outside, there's that on the inside, and then they're attached together.
It's got an inner liner, but it's rolled like you would with like a European sports car or something. Yeah, you roll that.
Correct.
Lip, so it's
rolled.
Nice and smooth.
It's rolled to the aluminum fender. Exactly.
Got it. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Super cool. Okay. So it took a couple years, like what, a year and a half to get this thing done? 2 years to complete the build?
Well, including waiting, but I just dropped it off in October. So really 6 months in the shop.
Oh, okay.
It's just a waiting list, really. I bought the truck ahead of time because, you know, we had that thing where we couldn't get those things and everything was, you know,
the pandemic
was in short supply.
Yeah,
that thing.
So then, thing of which we will not mention, Lightning.
Thing, right. We dare not speak its name.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't want you to necessarily tell us what you paid, but I am dying
to
know.
But he wants to know how much it costs.
I do not want to know that if I bought a, let's say I could afford a used F-150, or I wouldn't do a 250 because that's your thing. I don't want to step on your toes. But if I got like an F-150 or something like that, what do you think a ballpark is for a new chassis to lay it out beautifully like you did, where it's an actual, it could be a daily driver for me?
I could have bought your TRX for sure.
And then how many other cars also?
and I have no interior and I'm done, but I ain't mad. I wouldn't trade it for a Corvette. So it's all good.
Yeah. Oh, it's cool. It's going to get more looks than my TRX. I'll tell you that for damn sure.
All right. So enough about your super rad slam Super Duty where Lightning is trembling with jealousy over here. We have to know about the Mini Truck Nats. What's the show like this year? What's out there? What are you seeing? What are the trends that are happening? Because we haven't, you know, we always joke that everybody who's on the show somehow touched mini trucks at some point in their automotive life, career, you know, hobby, whatever. We haven't talked about it in a while. So what's happening in the world of mini trucks?
Well, this is my first full size, so I've all done all mini trucks until this one, as far as full custom, but. Yeah, I mean, they're still out there. They still bring them out. They come out of the woodwork for mini Nats. People debut here, and I was lucky enough to get. I've tried to debut at LST, you know, whatever, and it wasn't done. I was just like, the chips fall where they may. When it's done, you know. And so this is where it ended up. They don't let a whole lot of full sizes in there, but mine was chosen on a rendering. Luckily,
wow.
The guy that puts on the show,
that's Jason rare.
Bell. There, it's invitation only. Well, not invitation only, but you submit. And then they choose you because they only have 750. I think he could easily put double that in there if they had the space, but 750 is the number that they have. And so they have to pick and choose, but there's way more than that come here and cruise. And that's almost better than the show. The show's great. He does a great job, but like I said, the town supports it. When you go into the restaurants and stuff, they're like, we're glad you're here and everything. It's just awesome. I tried to get Jay to come. I was telling him, but I think he had too many other conflicts. But it'd be cool for you guys to come out to it one time.
I think it'd be awesome.
And I went to Showfest back in the day. I went to Texas Heat Wave back in the day. I've been to a lot of good shows.
Oh, man, the memories.
But this is the Super Bowl, in my opinion.
So Heat Wave back in the day was epic. Well, and Showfest,
but hold on a second,
was
I know, but Showfest, so there was a lot of TNA that happened back in those days, right?
It was
this
just
is
different.
More family friendly. I'm not.
We're all grown
I'm
ups
older now.
Now,
so this is definitely more. This is definitely more family friendly. But as far as the cruising back then, they used to let you drag and everything at Showfest, and that was the cool part about that. Until they shut it down at a certain point. But here they just let you do it all night if you want. The only thing they don't like is burnouts. And standing in the middle of the street taking pictures, you got to stand on the side. They made a few rules because of all the takeover stuff, I guess, this year. But I haven't really noticed the difference, to be honest. They were reasonable. Whatever they said was reasonable. And they still let you drag. That's just the burnout thing. But
so one of the questions I think that Holman had that I do as well, and that's, what is the state of mini trucking today? And not at the Mini Truck Nats, and thank you for bringing us up to speed on that event, but like, how many guys are doing what you're doing, both on the, you've done it kind of at the highest level. Right. The only thing above you is taking like a brand new Duramax or something and slamming that out. You know, now you're like 200 grand or something, I would assume. Right.
There's guys doing that for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've seen, you know, from Fat Fabs, and his builds are all big, big bucks. Right. But is there another generation that we're not seeing that are taking Nissans, Toyotas, new ones, and making the modern mini trucks, or is it?
Is there
only,
such a thing as a modern mini truck,
or is it only yesteryear?
I've seen several Mavericks out here, but a buddy of mine, Scott, has a Maverick that's all-wheel drive that's bagged. He didn't bring it here because he has so many mini trucks. He has to choose because he has quite a few mini trucks, so he didn't bring that here. But he has a Mazda with an LS in it, and his wife has a Geo Tracker that's on. Bagged on 20s.
Geo trackers
are rad. I don't care who you are. It's a
20-inch race line. Yeah, it's bitching.
Rock on, people.
That's hilarious. Is it a bunch of guys that are our age just like rekindling the past, reliving the past? Or are you think there will be? Because look, you could take a brand new Frontier.
Is there a generation coming up behind you?
Yeah.
There are some, but it looks like to me that they're going for the older stuff and trying to find the older stuff and still build true mini trucks. You know, I don't think they've warmed up to the plus even a Maverick's 25 grand. You know, the base.
Yeah, they raised it $5,000 now.
Right, the hybrid one is now the premium one. They flip flopped it.
Yeah,
but
yeah, it's expensive.
I kind of dig them, but you know, whatever. But I don't think the young people are into it yet. Just I think more the cost, the cost of entry. Because when I got into it, that's why I got into it. It's because it's cheap. I was in high school, and I had a Nissan Hardbody. That was my first one. My mom co-signed, and I bought a brand new one.
Damn!
And it cost you what, like
$6,900 or something like
six
that?
Six grand, seven grand?
No, I think it was $8,250 if I remember right.
All right,
the payment was $188.
Oh, that was a nice one.
And this was a 90, so at that time they came with carpet, still crank windows, and like I said, just AC is really the only option I got. But yeah, that was a fun one. I told my mom I was going to get a sunroof put in it, and I took it to my buddy's shop and had a Targa top cut in it.
Oh no.
That's not a sunroof.
Oh, I bet she was real happy after co-signing that loan.
Yeah, no, she was not.
As it turns out, that's not factual or accurate.
Where is that hard body today?
Long gone.
You mean you have no idea who has it?
It went through several iterations. When I first did it in high school, it was just static, as low as it could, ripping reflectors off and that type of thing. Then I decided it would be a nice idea to put hydraulics on it. And this was still my only transportation. But
oh man.
then after that, I still owned that. When the hydraulics seemed less practical, I bought an Astro van, and then that was just static, and that's what I got in camber with, painted it banana pearl, and then I did a turbo Toyota that was body dropped. At that time you cut the floor, so I did a 4-inch body drop on that. It was ridiculous with no headroom, but that one I put a rag top in. A few years ago I was feeling nostalgic for that same Toyota that I never finished. So I bought another one. It was not turbo because those are very hard to find, but it was the same truck, only long bed. I'm not too keen on long beds generally, but the extra cab long bed didn't look too bad. And so I went with it. And then that one I body dropped, but left it static. So I had 17-inch Budnick switchblades on it. And we narrowed the suspension enough that I could steer lock to lock with it tucking.
Dude, Budnicks were the wheel for a while.
No, I haven't even heard that.
I haven't heard that name in forever.
So long, yeah. Those and like Renaults, and I know Anki's still around, but like Anki was the thing back then.
I had Renaults on Lloyds. It first because when I was in high school, the Renault R9 was the wheel I lusted after.
Sure.
So I had those on it first. And then I saw on Craigslist, believe it or not, or maybe it was Marketplace probably at that time, a set of Budnick switchblades. And Budnick does not reproduce the classics, at least at that time they didn't. So I ran them I had them re-drilled because they were drilled for an Astro and it had a center cap. So I could dual drill it and you wouldn't see it. And then I ran them for that. They were on an Astro, so the offset was a little deeper than I would have liked. So eventually I ended up sending them out to Chris Coddington and he re-hooped the Budnicks. He doesn't care. He'll do whatever wheel and he made them more positive. And I narrowed them to 7 inches.
Who just bought Mini Truck and Mag, or what's the magazine that is now getting going? Like they bought the rights to it and they're resurfacing the magazine.
Yeah, they actually debuted the first copy here. I have a subscription, so I haven't got mine, but they brought a whole bunch here and I flipped through it. Yeah, Logan has bought that and they're reproducing it. It's subscription only. In the first year, I think it's 3 issues for $25 and it's on really nice paper, really thick. I don't know. It's like a coffee table mag. It's really nice. It's
the way you got to do it like these days.
That's a premium price for a magazine, but I still like the magazines. I still like to hold in my hand and look at it. You know, I don't know.
All right. Well, listen, you got, is it one more day of Maggie Valley in you?
Well, I'm going to go back out there and cruise some more tonight. That's what they do. And it'll probably be until midnight. I don't know. I'm old, so I don't know if I'll stay out that long, but it's a good time.
You got the family with you or are you solo?
No, my wife goes everywhere with me. She's my ride or die. She's the one that the reason I can do all this.
It's awesome when you have a wife who will let you go after your hobbies and enjoy them.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, she's always been that way. Our kids are grown, 22 and 24. My daughter doesn't like car shows too much. And my son would love to be here, but he's working. He's in it. He's 24 and he was building a Ranger, but you know, he's trying to get out on his own. So everything costs money that you want to do a house and all that's up right now. So he's trying, but yeah, he'll have something cool one day.
Do you have friends that are like, you know, hey Tim, are you still into mini trucks? Like, isn't that a kid thing? Do you ever get any of that pushback?
Oh yeah. Like at the high school reunion and people that I went to high school with. Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't care.
Have you told your daughter yet that she's no longer part of your family?
No, that's fine.
All right. Well, listen, Tim, get back out to the action. I'm kind of disappointed you were inside in your cabin because it's nice and quiet in there. I was hoping to have you out on the street, like with all the hoopla and the breaking bots dots off the streets and stuff. But you didn't have any. When we tried to call you earlier, you didn't have any reception. So I appreciate you stepping back into the cabin to get on the phone with us. And
no, I love it.
I've wanted to talk
to
you
all the time.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Cause like you're keeping this alive and you know, you've heard us talk about this a bunch. Like it all comes back to mini trucking, obviously in this age group, right? It's like you either were a mini trucker or your best friend was a mini trucker. Like it just touches everyone. And it's so rad that you're keeping this alive. And the new rig is amazing. An F-250 on the ground. You got to see it. So give us that Instagram one more time.
NC Florida Original.
NC Florida Original. Awesome.
Dude, thanks for coming on the show. And we really appreciate you listening for all these years. I don't know why you keep doing that, but hopefully us having you on was a little bit of a payback.
Awesome. I appreciate it.
You got it. All right. Keep have fun. We'll
all right, brother. Thank you.
All right. Later.
Later.
The Truck Show Podcast is a production of Truck Famous LLC. This podcast was created by Sean Holman and Jay Tillis with production elements by DJ Omar Khan. If you like what you've heard, please open your Apple Podcast or Spotify app and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're a fan, there's no better way to show your support than by patronizing our sponsors.
All the money I get from my paychecks, it all goes to my truck, so can't really help it.
Kind of like a disease, huh?
Yeah.